You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Robbins. I am so sorry there wasn't an episode last week. I thought that Last of the Roman Punks had been recorded in 5 episodes, not 4. So obviously I was too efficient for my own good, didn't realize until the last minute, and just officially gave up on the week. So I am very sorry, but this week we're starting with a brand new story, which I'm very excited to be able to share with you. This novella was written for the anthology And Then, the great big book of awesome adventure tales, and the pitch for the anthology was to write adventure fiction with an Australian flavour based around the idea of a duo, a pair of characters of some kind, which might or might not be romantic or work partner or family, whatever. It was just that idea of the duo. And I had a story already in mind that was so perfect for that. And I do love it when other people give me deadlines. So I signed up to write the novella of my heart for this anthology, which was released right on the cusp of the end of last year, beginning of this year. So I am planning to write more stories with these particular characters. I kind of have a little suite of novellas planned out, as is my wont, and it may be that they will be appearing on this podcast rather than elsewhere. I don't know. I will let you know when the stories are written. So, yes, today I'm reading Death at the Dragon Circus, Part 1. Kurt Frostad sat in the window seat of the train, his sister Inga's head pillowed in his lap. "Law enforcement," he suggested. Inga's expression did not move, but she raised one slender calf in the air, pointing her foot. "Pole dancer." "You or me? We both have the legs for it, sunshine. But as the person least likely to snap and break the neck of a drunken customer, you." He tugged at a lock of her ice-blonde hair. It was too short to pull properly. 3 cities ago, they'd walked into a salon as partners and walked out as siblings, with white hair and blue eyes. He was still getting used to it. "Fireman. I could be a fireman." He looked down at his notebook. He hadn't bothered to write any of the suggestions after law enforcement. Kurt and Inga were not their real names, just as Ice White was not a natural hair colour for either of them. They were brother and sister, according to their passports, and that was also new, but in a comfortable way. It made sense of the intimate, platonic relationship that they shared these days. Back when her hair was dark and his was sandy brown and they murdered people for money because it was the thing they both did best in the world, they'd been amazing in bed together, wild and angry and completely ruined for anyone else. All that had burned out long ago, and he hadn't even thought of her that way since they became Kurt and Inga. Sister was the right word. It meant that they were family. And that was all either of them needed. Crossing a body of water didn't make it less likely that their enemies would come after them, but it sure as hell felt better to do it. So they kept travelling south until they ran out of rivers. After the ferry across the strait to Tintalagra, they found another train and chose south again, so far south that the winds picked up cold and grey around the windows. Inga wore a white silk shirt and the necklace she'd bought herself after the hair salon. She'd never before owned a piece of jewellery that wasn't part of a disguise or a cover. This piece was a crystal snowflake on a silver chain that sent points of light refracting around the train carriage. Kurt's own needs were simple. He wanted a place for them both to live and work, somewhere safe, but not stale. No killing required. He'd always been good with his hands, and he liked the idea of using them to make things or fix things for a change. Carpentry, maybe, he said, working it through in his head. That sort of work. It wouldn't draw much attention. Tightrope walker, said Inga, turning her cheek against his knee. Did you see the circus folk on the platform earlier? I'd make an amazing tightrope walker. He curled his fingers fiercely into her short white hair. Yeah, you would. Dragon, she said next. Yeah, let's stick to viable career options, shall we? She tugged on his wrist. He looked up. A dragon stared through the glass of the door to the carriage. It was enormous, filling the corridor beyond the glass, all blue and silver and snout and bright gold eyes. Power thrummed through its body, a contained implosion of muscle and magic wrapped in shiny scales. It was as if time had stopped for everyone, except the dragon. All his life, Kurt had one skill that rose above anything else. He knew danger. He could read the danger in a room, in a person, in a situation, as precisely as someone else might understand numbers, or words, or art. He didn't have to think about it. His body took over, calculating the odds of every fight, every potential variable, who was going to walk away alive. On the rare occasion that his path crossed, with someone who was capable of taking him down. An oddly blissful silence would fill his brain. The first time he met Inga, that silence remained for 2 days. Even now, he only had to look at her to let it wash back over him. His instincts were generally honed for people. Magic didn't throw off his threat assessments, hell. He'd once had a dirty weekend with a fellow assassin who could turn into a snake monster when she lost her temper. He'd seen just about everything in his line of work. Nothing had prepared Kurt's natural defences for the deep, cold shock of sharing a train with a dragon. Kurt gazed into those deadly golden eyes and heard nothing but a faint buzzing sensation in his ears. Inga lifted herself slightly in his lap, and he knew she was reaching for a concealed weapon. Certain habits could never be left behind. Inga would fight anyone, anything, to the death without hesitation. It was the thing he loved most about her. I was not expecting dragons, she breathed, her fingers digging gracefully beneath her snowy fur-lined jacket. The dragon huffed against the glass, and a flash of dark hair shot past. A human girl shoved the door open, allowing the creature to pour itself into the carriage. Kurt drew his feet up on the seat. As the dragon stared him down with those gold liquid eyes, then opened its jaw to release a smoky gas that smelled like eucalyptus oil. Inga's hands were still buried in her jacket. Oh, gods, I'm so sorry, panted the girl. She hurled herself across the neck of the dragon, trying to twist the creature back towards the door, but it was having none of her antics. I thought this carriage was empty. Finn, what the fuck are you doing? Roared a voice. A young man with muscled arms pushed his way into the carriage, leaping over the dragon's tail. All shoulders and confidence, he grabbed the back of the dragon's neck as if it was a kitten. It wasn't on purpose. Why would I do this on purpose? Howled the girl. Can't let you out in bloody public, he snapped back. We need to get her back to the clowns, now, before she pops. The two of them wore odd garments, as if they'd been playing dress-ups backstage at an opera. Leather and velvet and lace cuffs, but they smelled of grease paint, burned feathers, raw meat. He wore more eyeliner than she did. Still arguing, the two only stopped blaming each other when the dragon let out a snort and a wave of heat belched out from between its teeth. All that danger wrapped up in that powerful, scaly body, and Kurt had forgotten, that dragons actually breathed fire. The young man spoke to the dragon in a low, pulsing language, unlike anything Kurt had heard before. It was more like singing than speech. The dragon moved in a long, sinuous movement, breaking eye contact with Kurt, to turn towards the young man and his beautiful voice. When it caught sight of Inga, the dragon hesitated. "Cover your necklace, miss," said the girl. "Dragons like shiny things." Inga placed her hand over the crystal snowflake. The dragon blinked and looked away. "Open the bloody door," said the man, and the girl obeyed him. The three of them slid out into the corridor again as if they were all one creature, human limbs and dragon scales combined. Inga let out a long, slow breath, relaxing. "I've never killed a dragon," she considered. "Sad you didn't get the chance," Kurt tossed back to her. His pulse was slowly returning to normal. "Maybe a little, for the challenge." She creased her forehead thoughtfully. "Might have got messy." Kurt couldn't sit still for long after that, not with the walls of the train closing in around him. He did what he'd done on every train journey they'd taken so far on this adventure of theirs. He walked up and down the corridor, glancing in every carriage and making threat assessments. 10 minutes to half an hour was usually enough to settle his nerves, but today was a special occasion, because he couldn't get those deadly golden eyes out of his head. It took several passes, all the way from one end of the train to the other, before he could return to Inga and bask in her stillness. Her stillness was a work of art, and always had been. When he neared the carriage, he realized that she wasn't alone. The dragon trainer had returned, sprawling in the seat opposite Kurt's sister, with the lazy ease of a man who knew how good he looked. Inga was charming him, and allowing him to charm her. Head tilted back, eyes sparkling. She asked questions, encouraging the young man to talk about himself. It was fascinating to watch. Usually it was Kurt who gave the easy smiles and connected with people, while his partner held herself in reserve, waiting for a need to provide deadly violence. They weren't those people anymore. Inga Frostad, it turned out, was rather good at casual conversation. Kurt noticed her using mannerisms she'd stolen from him. He slid the door open and leaned a hip into the doorway. "Am I interrupting something?" Kurt, he decided right in this moment, was protective of Inga. That was realistic, right? Brothers were allowed to be dicks about pretty men in eyeliner flirting with their sisters. Mostly he decided to go that way because it was hilarious. The idea of anyone thinking Inga couldn't make these decisions for herself. "You remember my brother," said Inga, rolling her eyes as if he was embarrassing her. "Kurt, this is Pop." It was the first time she'd used the words "my brother" out loud in front of anyone but Kurt, and it warmed him to his stomach. "How's your dragon?" Kurt asked, dropping into the seat beside Inga. "She's back in the livestock compartment, chewing on a steak," said Puck, including Kurt in his charming showman smile, fins practically sitting on top of her to keep her there, like she was supposed to in the first place. He'd cleaned up some, placed a beaded cap over his too long hair, wiped the soot off his hands and face, shrugged a scrappy velvet jacket over those muscled arms of his. Shame to cover them up. Puck came to offer us circus tickets, said Inga, glowing with what looked like genuine delight. "I've never been to a circus before." "We'll be in Candle for at least another fortnight," said Puck, holding the tickets in his fingers as a tease. "Maybe longer." "Sounds as good a place as any to stop for a while," said Kurt, reaching out his hand to take the tickets, though he was sure that Puck would rather pass them directly to Inga. "It's a show worth seeing," Puck assured him. "I promise. The dragons don't get as up close and personal with the audience as you got today." He gave them a sheepish look, ducking his head slightly. "Look, if my bosses found out I let Big Blue roam the train, I'm in big trouble. She's never acted like this before. We brought her along for the auditions because she's normally good as gold." "The show might be an anticlimax after today's encounter," Kurt drawled, tucking the tickets into a pocket. "Look, you're not going to complain, are you?" Puck begged. We're on 2 warnings already with the train company, and the ringmaster will blow her stack. She was against Finn and me coming along with the crew to audition trapeze artists in Tintillegra. But there's no point in seeing performers if we don't know how well they handle dragons. We won't tell anyone, said Inga, with a gentle laugh. She'd been practicing her laugh for the entire journey, and Kurt was never going to get used to that. The person she had been before never laughed. Puck's eyes flicked between the two of them, as if he couldn't quite figure them out. If they couldn't act normal enough to fool a carny kid, what hope did they have? Business or pleasure in Candle? He asked, with an extra stress on pleasure that made Kurt want to laugh at him. Was he trying to flirt with both of them? Boy had no idea what fire he was playing with. I'm a dancer, said Inga smoothly. My company closed, and so... She shrugged in her pretty fur-lined collar. Now we're travelling, my brother and I. Puck's eyes widened. It was the most honest expression Kurt had seen on the kid's face so far. Don't suppose either of you know what to do with a trapeze? Inga tilted her head. Kurt knew what that look meant. He'd last seen it when he said jokingly a lifetime ago, "You know you can't actually strangle a man with a satin ribbon, can you?" It was her considering the possibilities face. I could build one for you, Kurt said, more forcefully than he'd intended, but he was damned if he'd come out of this with nothing but the dancer's brother as his cover story. But I don't think that's what you had in mind. The kid, it turned out, had a considering the possibilities face just as blatant as Inga's. If you're looking for work, ask for me when you come by the Big Top, he said. Not being scared of dragons is top of the list when we're looking for new artists. Or crew. The door to the corridor slammed open. A short, surly man stood there, brimming with tension. Puck, he growled. Finn needs you now. We've figured out what's wrong with Blue. All the flirt fell off Puck's face, and he leapt for the door, his coat flapping behind him as he ran. Oh, said Inga. We are totally going to the circus. Is it the dragon? Kurt asked. Or the dark-eyed boy with the wicked smile? She poked him in the chest with a finger that felt decidedly sisterly. You liked the dragon. Well, sure. He hadn't had an adrenaline high like that since the last time he threw them both out a third-floor window to avoid being shot. I liked the dragon, he admitted. Inga looked happy. Was that a thing with her now? Maybe it was like the necklace. She tried on several dozen happy expressions before finding the one she liked. We'll fit right in with the freaks, Kurt added, to see if he could make her smile disappear. Inga and her smile were relentless. We'll see. So thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can follow me on Twitter and Tumblr at TansyRR and at Sheep Might Fly. Like my face on Facebook. Like my face on Facebook. Like my page on Facebook at TansyR Roberts. You can sign up to my author newsletter by following the link in the show notes. And right now, my novella Dance Princess Dance, which you might recognize from earlier in this podcast, is available as a proper ebook. Currently in pre-order on Amazon, but it's going to be dropping across various ebook platforms for purchase from the 20th of April 2017. So if you want a copy of it as a real book, that is one way to get it. Another way to get hold of it is to sign up for my Patreon. I will also put the link into that. So thank you for listening. I will see you next time for more Assassins and Dragons and Circus. See you next week.